volunteers that would be willing to stay after to help get this room back in shape.
All right.
Thank you very much. So after we wrap, if you'll just kind of hang out and then get with me, I'll give you directions on what we need to do. If you don't have paper and pen, we have index cards and pencils that we'll be glad to pass out to you for the second part of this in which we're going to learn to do two-way prayer. So we have a couple of guys that are going to pass around some index cards. So if you raise your hands and you need something to write on or write with, they'll get them to you.
You said donations? You're going to do donations? Do you want to say that?
Okay. As far as the brochures,
let me say that.
I'm going to let Father Bill tell you about those. And before I give that to him, we're also going to pass baskets for a love donation. So we're going to pass those. And here's Father Bill. Enjoy the rest of the workshop.
Thank you. I don't think we had enough handouts. They said bring 100. I brought 110. So some of you may not have gotten them. You can go to the website, twowayprayer.org. Just put in two-way prayer on Google. Go to articles, and all of that stuff that was given can be downloaded for free. Okay? So, or if you want to pass it on to somebody else, that would be a good way to do it. There was a packet that was up here that had a study in it, and somehow it got given out as one of the packets. If your packet has a study of two-way prayer, kind of a scientific study, I'd appreciate it because it's got some readings in there that I wanted to use in the second half of the program. It's white. It's a booklet. It's like 15, 20 pages. Not this little thing. No, not that. It's like a 15, 20 page study from Rutledge. It's Rutledge. If you don't have it, don't worry about it. Okay. Are we ready to go? We're on. Okay. let's jump right in then to the second part of the workshop. This is where you learn how to do two-way prayer, and we will wrap up promptly at noon. So I want to start going through some more of the handouts. First handout I want to address is this one. It's in your book, in your packets there. It's called How to Listen to God. This is an Oxford group handout from the 1930s, circulated in Akron, Ohio. And it's a very lovely introduction to two-way prayer, the simplest one that I've been able to find. So it gives you some background on how to do it, and what I have done is then taken this brochure and made another one, which is either yellow or purple in your handouts, and we will be looking at that. That's the one we'll use to go through the process. So, 1930s, Akron, Ohio, Oxford Group Literature. Some background for getting people in touch with how to listen to God. So I'm just going to tick off the things. Number one, God is alive. God always has been, always will be. God knows everything. God can do anything. Four, God can be everywhere at all time, all at the same time. Five, God is invisible. Can't see him, touch him, but God is here. He's with you now. He is beside you. He surrounds you. He fills the room or the whole place where you are. He is in you now. He is in your heart. I have really developed almost nothing that is original except the following statement. You cannot be where God is not, but you can think you are. I mean, there's a wonderful description of the out-of-touch ego. You cannot be where God is not, but you can think you are. God cares about you very much. A loving God, as he may express himself. He's interested in you, has a plan for your life. This is so important. Has a plan for your life. For your life. I don't care if you're a garbage man. Viktor Frankl, some of you may know his writings. Wonderful, wonderful Jewish psychiatrist in concentration camp. Good stuff. Meaning and purpose. If you don't find the meaning and purpose in your life, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose life. And that's, I think, what is really at the basis of this, that there's a, God has a reason for you, or he wouldn't have made you. You know? So another psychiatrist said, you cannot understand the meaning of life. You'll never understand the meaning of life. But you can understand the meaning of your life. See? And that's what we're trying to get to. God has a purpose for you. To find out what that purpose is the quest. All right? God will tell you all you need to know. Here's the kicker. He will not always tell you all that you want to know. He'll help you do anything that he asks you to do. Anyone can be in touch with God anywhere at any time if these conditions are obeyed. To be quiet and still. To listen. To be honest about every thought that comes. To test the thoughts. To be sure they come from God. To obey. So, I give you this. You can read it. It's Oxford Group. I've kind of tried as best I could to update it. So either yellow or purple sheets now. In your packet, how to practice two-way prayer. Got it? Again, you can get it on the website, download it. So here's what I want you to do. This is the preparation. Commit to practicing quiet time. Now, quiet time is the period that you spend in your prayer and your meditation. Guy came up to me with a resentment at the break. So I've been doing this for 35 years. You're telling me I'm in the machine? No. You're not in the machine, especially after he told me what he's doing. But two-way prayer is a part of the quiet time. My quiet time goes an hour. All right? I've worked up to an hour. Hour seems about right for me. It includes reading, you know, and prayers, and silence. It can include many things. If you're doing a practice, keep doing the practice. Two-way prayer is just going to be a part of that, small part of it. So you can add it. If you're doing contemplative prayer, a centering prayer, fine. If you're doing some form prayers that are very meaningful, do them, all right? It's just give me 10 minutes more for this two-way prayer for 30 days. So I want you to commit to doing it. For 30 days. So have a show of hands. How many people would be willing to commit to doing 10 minutes a day? Give it 10 minutes a day for 30 days. Now here's the other kicker. If you stop doing it, that's okay. Just go back and start again from the beginning. All right? Start doing another 30 days. If you can get 30 days under your belt, I'm convinced of this. You will be hooked on this process. So do it. Do it in the morning, if that is at all possible. Morning is the best time to do it. If it means getting up early, get up early. All right? If you absolutely can't do it in the morning, do it another time of the day. But mornings are best. All right? Choose a sacred place. All right. A quiet place where you can be alone. It should be comfortable and inviting. I have a chair in my office, my study, that I reserve for two-way prayer. I don't read the paper there. I don't do anything else other than that. Now, if you can't do that, I understand that, get a blanket. Make it a sacred space. If you go to India, I don't care how poor you are, you will find a little altar in a person's home. They create a sacred space where they do ceremony of some sort. Ceremony is extremely important, you know, because that's what this you're trying to reach the unconscious. Where does the change happen? It happens in the unconscious. All right? That's where the change is going to happen. You know, and we're what? 5% conscious mind, 95% unconscious. That's where the transformation has to happen, is in the unconscious. That's where the shift has to happen. So choose a sacred space, reserve it for prayer. Buy a notebook, you know, just a spiral notebook that you're going to reserve for your two-way prayer, and have it ready when you begin. All right, so how do you begin? You sit in a comfortable, upright posture. Remember Miss What's-Her-Name in third grade, you know? Sit up straight. I did it, I was running a little late this morning, I did it in bed. I never do it in bed, but I did. But man, I could not lean back in the bed this morning. I had to sit up straight. There's something about having your spine aligned that the energy can run through it. So you don't have to be uncomfortable, but you don't have your feet up on the ottoman or on the table. And you remember into whose presence you're coming. So you just kind of straighten up. Read a short passage of sacred literature. Now that's the way I would put it. Of literature that is sacred to you. In the early days, the pamphlet thing. He's got the Dr. Bob Dealey do here. These that's why I printed up this thing. These were the readings that they used. And I think it's a good way to start, Christian or not Christian. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You know? And this is what they used before there was a big book. These were the literature. You know? So the love chapter. Hey, I love that. A guy told me who did this. Before the big book, huh? Love is patient and kind. So what he said, we have a meeting. Okay, Charlie, we're going to go home this week, and we're going to practice being patient and kind. You got that? Patient and kind. And you're going to come back here next week and tell us how you did. The Sermon on the Mount is nothing but ego buster. Matthew 5, 6, 7. Absolute ego buster. That's why it's not real popular in the church. It's got some dangerous stuff in there. Okay? Be careful. Be careful. Don't cut your hands off or things like that. It's metaphor, you know? The letter of James is in here. Now, when they were looking for a name for AA, one of the top suggestions was, let's call it the James Club. Why? Because so much of James is in AA. Watch your tongue. It's a dangerous little monster. Watch the new person coming in. How do you treat them? Do you go up to the old timer and glad to see you? Or do you find the guy or the gal who's most alone? Who do you go to? All right? Faith without works, dead. Dead. So it's bringing this thing to life. So if you're comfortable doing that, read a little section of this each morning. How much? Maybe a paragraph. Not a lot. And then sit and let it sink in. Meditation. Let me dispel a myth on meditation. Meditation, we have, because we've been so bad about it, adopted the Eastern forms of meditation, which is kind of going to blankness and nothingness. Well, that's not the original meaning of meditation in the West. In the West, meditation means what? To think deeply on something, to meditate on it. So you read, it's lectio, meditatio, oratio. So meditate, read, meditate, oratio, prayer, and contemplatio, contemplation, God speaking through you. Those are the four stages of prayer, okay? So you read, think deeply on it for a minute or two. Let it sink in. Let it sink in. Breathe, in case you forgot to do that. You know, I think taking a couple of really deep breaths at that point and breathing in God and letting go of inflated ego is a really good practice, and maybe you it's already a part of what you do. If it is, just keep doing it. But a couple of deep breaths, you know, light a candle, you know, anything that helps you get into the right frame of mind, right? A couple of deep breaths. Now here's where I'm kind of going to move a little bit away from the original Oxford Group pamphlet. Write a question. And I take this from our step 10. Okay? So your question is going to be your step 10. Not a lengthy thing. All right? Not a lengthy thing. But what's disturbing you? You know, a kid in treatment years ago said, you know, I don't believe this, that, and the other thing, you know. And about the only thing we could get down to is he believed in Star Wars and the Force, you know. And I said, well, you're closer than most, you know. Is the Force with you or not with you, you know? You know? And so what you're doing in the question, is you're writing what the disturbance is. Lord, I'm feeling anger this morning. So and so did such and such. Please help me. It's short. This is very important that it be short. It's not journaling. If you want to journal, go journal. Two-way prayer is not journaling. Two-way prayer is taking what's out of whack in you, what you need help with, and bringing it to God in a short two-sentence deal. All right? I had one guy. He was so difficult. He would write this beautiful, beautiful stuff about what's wrong with him. And then he'd say, God, do you have a word? And damn if God wasn't just entitled to one word. It was all about him. God already knows what's wrong with you. You don't have to remind him. You just have to turn to him. All right? You take your inventory. What's wrong inside? What's wrong outside? So some samples. God, I've tried getting clean and sober before. Tell me what I need to do that's different this time. God, I'm sober 20 years, but I can't do anything about this food addiction. Please help me. God, I'm frightened to death. Please help me. Boom. That's where you are. There's a woman who came up at the break, and she, I've lost her. What was the question? It's the question. Boom. I've been afraid. What a wonderful place to start. Why? Because that's where you are. If you try to go where you are not, God will not go there. But if you go where you are, he'll meet you there. So very important. Heavenly Father, I feel so alone, separated from you, from others. Help me feel your presence. I do that one a lot. Well, Father, Mother, God. All right? You get one set of feelings when you say Father God. I get a whole different set of feelings when I say Mother God. Try it. It's not bad theology either. It's not bad theology. I'm withdrawing, isolating again, moving further away from my spouse or my child. Old stuff's coming up. Please help me. Tell me what to do. Lord Jesus, Spirit, my Creator, I need your guidance today as I face blank. Some heavy things coming up today. You know? Now, that was my prayer this morning. I'm doing this deal. You know, that was what I needed to pray about. You know? Please help me. Boom. That's where I'm at. Notice the different names for God. Be flexible with that. Try different things. All right? God, I don't know who you are. If you're there, doesn't matter. Then you listen for the voice, and you begin to write the thoughts that come. So I put a question, a Q in the border there on my paper. Q. One or two lines. Please help me. I write that, and then G, God. J, Jesus. S, Spirit. All right? Question mark. The voice. It's fine. And we talked earlier about the ego cooperating in the death of the self. Now, Jung said something very important. You know, you hear about Jungians and Freudians doing a lot of dream analysis. That you take the dream for analysis to the therapist. And he said this. He said, active imagination, which is what I think this is. I think this is you are imagining. If God were to speak to me, what would he say? You know? People ask me, is it God or is it me? See, that's the question. Everybody comes up with that question. Is this God or is it me? And I say, I don't know. If it's me, it's the best part of me I've ever found. It's the part that is unconditionally loving, unconditionally unselfish, unconditionally pure. All right? That's the part I want to listen to and have that become more of me. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, and I think it is what happens. So I'm going to ask Michelle if she would read a writing. Come on up here.
Can I do it from here? Is it wireless?
You got the light? You got the mic? Get the mic. We got a mic.
We can do a floor mic.
Okay. All right. So this is a writing that Michelle had done a little while back.
All right. Good morning,
God. I want you to hear the voice. That's the important part. Go ahead.
Good morning, God. Work has been slow. Please remove my doubts about you. Help me to not be so petty and jealous. My dearest Michelle, I love you. I've always loved you. You haven't been able to really feel and see it because you don't stop long enough to sit and let it sink in and really embrace it in your body. You've always tried to run from pain and problems. You don't see the freedom in being still with me, your Heavenly Father, feeling the painful feelings and letting them go. You hide from them as if they will go away, but they only hold on to you and wait around causing more problems. The world has conditioned you to think and behave certain ways. I am trying to help you undo those unhealthy beliefs and behaviors. You have come a long way, my child. You still have a ways to go. This doesn't mean I don't love you unconditionally. I am not like your human mother and father, who have also been conditioned by the world. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You were made in my image, not the other way around.
God does have a sense of humor. You'll find that.
Open your mind, your heart, your body, your ears, and your eyes. Keep seeking my love. It's in all things, the stars in the sky, the leaves on the trees, the heartbeat of every human on this planet. Cease fighting anyone or anything.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Do you hear it? Unconditional love. Unconditional love coming down. All right? Did you have one you were going to share? Are you good? You're good? I was going to share some of the others, but I think you get a sense of it. Andre, did you have yours or no? You're not good?
I carry on way too long. I do is journal.
He does journal. He's...
the basket comes
to... It's all right. Next time. Okay. We'll do it next time. Do you get a sense of it? There's a voice in you. You're going to allow your imagination to come to the fore. All right? Your ego is going to step to one side. First, with your ego, you're going to find a problem. Has everybody got a problem in here? If she's sitting next to you, pick another problem. All right? Not good for this day, all right? Do it tomorrow, not today, all right? Go to that problem, be honest about it, and write it in capsule form. Lord, I'm feeling this, or I'm afraid of this, I need your help with such and such, all right? And then, this is something I found is really helpful. When God speaks to you through your imagination, all right, start off with a term of endearment. My sweet daughter, my blessed child, my son, my brother, all right? And what does that do? It melts your heart. It melts your heart. And that's what you want to have happen, all right? And then let it come. Now just write and do not think. Okay? So I see people, they're going to sit there and they're waiting for something pretty to come along. No. Just write. All right? And if you find yourself drifting to making a list for Albertsons, you know, pull yourself back. That's okay. And get back on course. But don't stop writing, all right? I hope this makes some sense, because those are the instructions that they give. Now, after a while of doing it, you know the thoughts, and I think I kind of let them go. I don't write them all down. But I would encourage you in the beginning to just write them. Just write them so that when we do this, I see the pens going, all right? I want to see those pens going, all right? Not just sitting there thinking, okay? And then we go back and we sort them out, because not everything's going to come from God. But maybe this little crystal, they used to call them illuminative thoughts. Illuminative thoughts. Thoughts. And if you do dream analysis, one of the things they will teach you to do is you get an image in a dream, and you might write down four or five things that image might represent. You write down the four or five things. And one of them, boing, it's that. You intuitively know. This is what the big book says. The big book says, you know, we will intuitively... See, this stuff is hidden in the big book, but it's kind of secretive. So you got to kind of extrapolate it, pull it out, and make sense of it. You know? Where it says when we are first beginning this, we may be new, we may do foolish things. We may do foolish things. I had a thought that came, go plant a tree. It's many years ago. Plant a tree. Where the hell did that come from? It's not a holy thought. And you know what? When I was done, I looked at it, plant a tree. My family was gone away. They were away that weekend. I was there by myself. And I said to myself, I talked to myself. I'm very sick. I'd feel very stupid planting a tree. The voice didn't say it, but the thought was there. That's right. And it's very good for you, Bill, to feel stupid. Try being obedient. I went and I bought a damn tree. Skinny-ass tree. It was on sale, you know? Feeling stupid as I went. Came home, dug a big hole in the backyard, planted the damn thing, you know? Feeling stupid. And we recently moved, but for 20-some-odd years, I couldn't look at that tree without seeing God. And reliving my obedience, that you don't know, smart guy. You don't know. Maybe call somebody, you know? Call somebody. Read something. Do something. Look at your day ahead. Look at your day ahead. Oftentimes at the end, there's two things here. There's what I call deep diving. That was kind of a deep dive that Michelle read. Sort of general, my condition. Look at your day ahead. I always, almost always add this at the end. I look at my day ahead. Is there somebody I need to call? Is there something I need to do? Is there something I haven't attended to? Write it down. I put a little box next to it. And then I go back the next day, and I tell you, the first thing I do in my two-way prayer time is I check my boxes. Did I do it? Now, this is quite interesting. Here you have the God, creator of the universe, telling this little jerk to go and do something. And you know what I do? Didn't get around to it. You want to meet your ego? You'll meet your ego in what you didn't do. Again, like I said, I don't get yelled at for that. But, I mean, there have been many days it's like, okay, I got 15 things that I didn't get to, and I go back and check them all off. You know? Wilson said when he wrote the 12 steps, he asked for guidance. Took his yellow page. Page, you know, whatever you call those things. And wrote them down. Boom, boom, boom. There they are. There they are. Get yourself out of the way. Allow it to come through you. That's what you're looking for. Then we're going to go back at the end and check, does what I wrote meet the criteria? Was it honest? Was it pure? Was it unselfish? Was it loving? If it was not, throw it out. It can't be from God. Kill her. No. Kill him. Maybe. You got to do some sorting, all right? And then you act on the ones that are genuine guidance, that you feel are genuine guidance, and you share them. If you have a question, if it's a big thing, if I get, you know, like move to Chicago, I don't start packing, you know? I do not start. Well, we better revisit this again, you know? But if I get it repeatedly over some months, there's something there. It keeps coming up. I do that with jobs that I've had. I got the job at a treatment center, director of a treatment center. Put in your application. I got it for my own ordination to priesthood in the Episcopal Church. It's, no, I want you to do this. It just kept coming up. It's like unfinished business in the plan for your life. What is it? What is it that God wants you to do? Maybe you're always meant to be a poet or an artist or something creative, and you just push that down. You know? It keeps coming up. You might want to pay attention to it. Questions. We're going to do a sample now. Okay, you got an idea of what I'm asking you to do? To come up with a question. You're going to take a couple deep breaths. We're going to skip the reading. We won't do the reading part. You've had a lot of input already. But you're going to come up with a question that's really troubling you. They used to do a little shift. Sometimes I did this for many years. I don't do it anymore, but it was helpful. inside their minds, they would quote a piece of scripture that said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." They just say those words, "Speak, Lord." And it's from Samuel. And Samuel was in the temple, and the old prophet's there, and he thinks Eli is talking to him. And he goes three times, says, "Well, what do you want, Eli?" Eli says, "Well, one, me." And the third time, it was like, "Well, listen. It's God speaking to you." So the Oxford Group people like that. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," because their usual prayer life was, "Listen, Lord, for your servant is speaking." It's a flip. It's a flip, okay? So I found that helpful. So anyway, any questions? I can't believe everybody's got it. No questions? And when the voice comes, it is talking to you. Not about you, to you. Very important. That's why I say my son, my daughter. God speaking to you through your imagination. Let's get right to that, all right? Okay, I'll do that one later. You got it? Any questions? We good? I'm going to give you like a little over 5 minutes. Go do it. Well, thank you for participating in that. It's very awkward with so many people sitting around you to do this. I understand that. But if we do have some brave souls, I'd like, if you're willing to share the question and then the answer, try not to give a little description, maybe what's troubling you, if it needs to be commented on, but nothing long, so we can get the point. You got one?
So I wrote, "Dear Eternal Spirit," "Dear Eternal Spirit, what stands between me and thee, my beloved? Only your ego."
That's it. I like Louisiana people get right to it. Short and beautiful. That's it. What is it?
"My Creator, I need guidance tomorrow and today as I face spending time with my son and his family. Restraint of tongue." Wait, okay. "Please show me the way so I can do your will. Length of tongue. My precious Yvonne, take it easy, relax, keep it simple, and know that I love you unconditionally in everything. I sometimes feel intimidated by my son."
That's you again. I want to hear from you.
Okay. Okay, okay.
I only want God's voice.
Okay, okay. This is God's voice. "Keep it light and simple. Most of all, be love. No advice or judgment. Fear is an illusion."
All right.
Thank you. Very important. No dialogue. In traditional active imagination, there is a place for dialogue. There is a place for the ego to kind of go back and forth. Not with God. There's no use going back and forth. God already knows. So it saves you a lot of time. Only the words from God. Does that make sense? Okay. So don't ask two questions. Well, I got another question. Back another session. It can shift. The answer can shift away from what your original question was. Perfectly free to do that. Does that make sense? Perfectly free. It can go in some other directions. But don't break the chain. Don't break that link of communication. It's been my experience and others. It's helpful. Some others.
Kevin over here. Andre, over here. And while you're getting ready, we'll do this.
My question was power to all.
What do you mean?
Power to all is
what's,
my...
What's your question?
That is my question.
I don't
is,
understand. Help me. Help me. Put in a question for me.
Power of all. Help me clear the blockages for communication with you.
Sorry. Shut up, we shut up. Shut up, you shut up. You did it, Chris. Thank you. Embarrassed me for a moment. Read it again now since I made the video.
Power of all, help me clear the blockages for your for communication with you. My child, if you will get the crazy obstacles out of the way and go with what your heart tells you to do, you will see me and we can communicate with each other. I will guide you, sweet child, to know my wishes of you. I am in your heart, and you know when you are loyal and when you are not. Spend time in the power to strengthen you. My wishes will be fulfilled by you. Because you are my child, and your path is clearing. Stay on path, and when you falter, do not beat yourself, but get back on path.
Beautiful. How did that feel?
That's very touching.
Yes. Thank you. It's touching. It's what it's supposed to be doing. It's touching. Touching parts of myself that I normally might not go to. Right? Loyal jumped out at me. That was a surprise. I love surprises. To me, that's the unconscious really speaking God through the unconscious. So my next day of writing, Father, Spirit, whatever you might be calling God, where am I being disloyal? Help me see that. And so one two-way prayer can lead to the next session of two-way prayer. So you're going deeper with yourself. Does that make some sense? Yeah. Very beautiful. Thank you. I'm sorry for the miscommunication.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing this so you...
I grabbed the wrong microphone.
Yeah, you did.
A two-fisted drinker. I got to remember. I'm in Louisiana. I got to bring them both. Is that better?
That's better.
All right, we can do this thing. We can do this thing. Andre, you got the mic? Go.
Yeah. Hi, my name's Annette. I wrote, "Dear God, I'm frightened. I can't learn my job."
Nice and loud. They can't hear in the back.
I'm frightened. I can't learn my job because fear is creating inattention. What should I do?
Fear is creating inner tension. What should I do?
Yeah.
All right?
My child, slow down, take on less, be quiet, practice meditation.
Slow down, take on less, be quiet, practice meditation. Okay. Thank you. Some others. I guess I better do both. I better do both, because otherwise he won't pick it up on the deal.
Mine's a little loud. A little long. The question, so I've been in a lot of fear lately with what's been going on in my home life and just everything around that.
Right.
So I have been afraid. God, I have been afraid of you in my life. Please help me. Well, hello, my darling child of God. You are loved beyond measure. There is no thing you can do that will ever break my love for you. No thing ever that can distance myself from you. You need not fear me. I am love. Why do you fear me, my child? Because you do not know of my love. You may speak of platitudes, but yet you are not connected within me, with me. At times you are. Don't go busting your chops and get all self-pity and victim on me. But do know there is a deeper love that which you desire that will set you free. Keep doing your work. You're doing a great job. Keep digging and searching for me, knowing the prize will appear, presenting itself to you. Just don't expect to know what it looks like. You are near, my child, because you desperately want me in your heart. I hear you cry. I hear your fears. I hear you in the night. I am there. I am within. I am simplistic. I am all. I am there. Do not give up on me. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord?
Got it. Beautiful, beautiful. Pass that back, because I don't think we can use it. I'm going to get interference here. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Any of the guys? Come on, gentlemen. We need some men.
I want to see how off base I am.
Go ahead, I got him.
God, where is the rest of the committee? Son, they're right in front of you. Remove your blinders, your expectations, and the expectations of others.
Short and sweet. Beautiful.
Short and sweet.
I wrote, God, what's the meaning of this day? Why did you bring us here together? And God answered me very plainly, look around you at these beautiful people. Look around you at the spirit that I have brought into this room. And that answer was enough.
That is enough. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Could you hold for her?
I can. Loving Father, how do I release my heart and devotion to an old toxic relationship? Please guide me in letting it go. My child, feel my loving arms envelop you. You are an innocent love, with my innocent love and respect. You are my child.
Thank you. She's bringing a tough one, a toxic relationship that needs to be let go of. How do I do that? You're in good hands. You're in good hands. And you got enough for what you needed today. So that's one of those questions that you're going to have to keep bringing back and keep seeking guidance and keep seeking strength, and it will come. It will come. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Maybe one more. Way in the back. Who we got?
I'm not good at this, but we'll see
the
what
back folks
do.
Here, back table, who's... Oh, we'll just take
test.
No, take these. I turned them too.
Hello.
Yes, but he needs to record.
There you go, both of them. I'll hold one for you, no problem.
I have, dear Lord, I fear who I am and who I will become, scared to death of failure. And with the Lord, it's he says, trust in me and always be true to thine own self. Have faith in me, though you cannot see me, for I am always here.
Okay, you get a sense of what this process is about. I think we had some wonderful shares. I think that's just want you to get a sense of what it's about, and I think we accomplished that. So questions about the process, questions that came up, something you struggled with. Yo. Yes, I do. I find that really helpful because I forget, I didn't do. And it's just a reminder. Doesn't mean I'm going to go there again, but just to kind of check in, I find helpful. Yes? Is it the first thing? I'm going to repeat these for the tape. Is it the first thing you do in the morning? Ideally. There is a restroom break. Community coffee calls my name. All right? Those things are fine. Don't turn on the TV. Don't check your emails. You know? Don't read the newspaper. Do this first. That's really helpful. Good question. Prayer partners. Here we go. Thank you. The thing that is really going to be most helpful for you would be if you can find someone who is also doing the practice and that you would get together with them. There's a thing on the Two-Way Prayer website. I think it's called Prayer Partners under Articles. You can download it. It gives you some a one-page or two-page cheat sheet on how to do it successfully. All right? So, yeah, I've got three or four people. I once, being an addict, I was up to 10. I had to cut back, you know? It was too much. And I got sick of hearing myself talk, too. But to find another person to share your guidance with them if they are doing the work. Now, if they're not doing the work, I find this is tremendously helpful to take it to a therapist. It can be very helpful to take it to a sponsor. But it's going to be kind of hit and miss. It's not. The ideal thing is to find somebody else who's doing it so that you can benefit from hearing their prayers and answers, and they can benefit from hearing yours. That is what they would call three-way prayer, that what God is saying to you is what I need to hear. How many times do we go to a meeting and, boy, that was just what I needed to hear. You know? That's the kind of thing that goes on there. So, yeah, I strongly encourage that. I've found it most helpful to do it once a week at a set time, and I'm a stickler for that. If it's 7 o'clock, call me at 7 o'clock, not 7:05, all right, because I'm there. And I'm ready. And what happens is a little bit of social stuff that's just normal. How you doing? What was the week? Blah, blah, blah. No more than 5 minutes. And then one person takes the lead. It's usually, I recommend, the less experienced person. So the newbie, the newcomer, would share his or her two-way prayer for the week first. Why? Because it gives them the most time. They need the most time. If we're scheduled for an hour or 45 minutes, they get the majority of it. If I've been doing this thing for a while, as I have, I don't need it. You know? Give it to them. But they really love hearing mine because it helps them. So there is a two-way to this process. You know? Which you'll never get with a therapist. You know, that's why they're kind of trained not to do that, you know, which is right. They have to have some boundaries with that. But with a prayer partner, no. No. Although even there, I would do this. I would hold back if there's something that I wrote in my two-way prayer that I don't think they're ready to hear. I kind of hold it back. And I think that's okay. This is not meant to be shaming or intimidating or anything like that. So you have complete control over what you share, with whom you share it, and whether you share it. You know? Now, one thing I did want to point out was the meditations. I forgot this in the 24-hour book. You know, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the 24-hour book from Hazelden. Those were the meditations, were the two-way prayer writings of two women in England, all right, where they were listening to God and writing those down. And they came and they edited those out a bit and put them in the form of meditations. There's a book called God Calling, which you can get. And if you will go by the dates, you can see it's amazing. Oh, this is where they were going with that. So two women in England who were sharing their two-way prayers, and they became the meditations for us. Now, one question I will address is, what do you do with your journal, your two-way prayer journal, when it's done? I don't know the answer to this. I had a stack in my closet of 50, 60 of them, and do you hang on to them? Do you pass them on to the children? my guidance was destroy them. All right. So I think there are many. That's why it's hard to find. I look for Sam Shoemaker's. I've been through his library looking for his journal, and they're gone. This is very personal material. It should be personal material, and it's private and it's yours, and it's between you and God, and what you do with it. I had a deal with a fellow I first started doing with it. If I die first, he'd come to my house and find my stash and get rid of it, and I'd do the same for him. But it seemed wise to do it. But there's a set. This is beautiful material. What do I do with it? I mean, it's it'll become a question for you, because this is for me. It's God's voice speaking. Do I let it go? Now I finally got to the point of let it go. I didn't want Thanksgiving coming around and the kids pulling out Dad's two-way prayer material, and oh, look, he was disturbed at you, Matt, and got some guidance. I don't know if he followed it, but here it is. I would encourage people, after they've done that for a while, after you've done a little bit with a partner, form a group. Now, can you do this as an AA group? It is possible. I met with the inner group in Austin, and I've experimented with a number of things. It is possible to do it. I don't recommend it. I would recommend that you do it in somebody's home, three or four people. Same gender has a lot to say for this. I encourage that, but wouldn't demand it, you know. But get together, and what we do in Austin, we've got a little group. We meet. I do a recovery Eucharist. I just started it again. I used to do it at the treatment center I ran. I had 150 people coming every Sunday night, and but when I stopped working there, kind of went. That's another story. Spirit has a way of being and moving on, you know. But we meet, we do a Eucharist, a recovery Eucharist, and then we do the two-way prayer meeting. And what we do is we've set up a formula. If you want the formula, write me. I think it's on the website under the articles. You can use that. Or write your own, doesn't matter. And then each person shares one journal entry from the week. And then we go around the group and share what that meant to us. Not to interpret what it means to you, but what it meant to us. And we're very particular about that, because that's we're not there to interpret this for you. We're there to speak about what it says to us. And we allow crosstalk, you know, God forbid. Sorry. The AA gods are going to strike me dead. But we do allow crosstalk. And I tell you this, I got four or five guys, and it's a small group, and I don't advertise it. And, I mean, one guy got out of prison. I mean, this is not the elite of Austin by any means. It's just the ones that God said are ready to do this thing, and they come consistently. And the changes, I mean, I got guys who in and out of the program for 20 years couldn't get it, and now something's happening to them, and you can see it. Power in the group, strong power in small groups. Big groups get difficult. Big group gets difficult. So we haven't had that problem. If it gets really big, what are we going to do? We would have to split into other groups. Okay? Question?
Are there restrictions? For example, I have to do over the gender today unless I've got a respiratory illness, in which case I can't do the call again.
Sure. Speak more. Restrictions, meaning... Oh, yeah, well, use common sense. Yeah, common sense. If I got to do this, I do this. Yeah. God's not asking the impossible of us. So, yeah. And if you're in doubt, ask God. I'll kind of close with this. We're getting pretty close to closing time. I think we have made our sponsors into gods. And to me, that can be part of the machine. All right? So, I'm either going to piss off some people, or you're going to thank me for this eternally. When somebody comes to you with a question, say, well, bring me your writings on this. In other words, you're sponsoring somebody. You teach them how to do two-way prayer when you get to the 11-step part. They come to you with a problem. Bring me God's answer and let's look at it. Wow, what a difference that's going to make. You don't have to be the source of eternal wisdom. Sorry if that's the role you were playing. And you don't have people being dependent on you. You're teaching them to fish. You don't give them the fish. You teach them to fish. You teach them to go inside. You teach them to find that they already have the answer. And here's another thing I picked up along the way. And I got this from Dr. Bob somewhere. I forget what. It says 99, when you're looking for what is God's will, what is God's will for me? He said if it's wrong, it's not God's will. Now that sounds, if it's wrong, it's not God's will. So what you're really bringing in two-way prayer is give me guidance on two things that are right. Back to your question about common sense, you know, should I rob the bank or not rob the bank? Jesus, Jesus, help me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening, you know. Common sense. But I'm looking, see, what Bob said is if I got two good things to do, what do? That's where guidance comes in. That's where guidance comes in. To trust that you will get an intuitive thought to do the right thing. I don't know if I'm explaining that well. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, yeah. In the Ignatian is training, the Jesuit training. You know, what's the greatest good of these two things? What's the greatest good? No, that's what you want to strive for. That's what you want to strive for. Wait, one more question, or else one yes. Yeah, and you might not read scripture at all. One of the things that they said, we would read scripture or guided literature. And what that means to me is books and authors to whom my soul is attracted. All right? Who are those people in your life? Because they're speaking to you. That becomes sacred literature for you. You know? And that's what you would read. I'm a reader, I've got my authors, and many of those books I've gone back to 8-10 times, you know, because each time I'm going deeper into them. That is part of my two-way prayer, part of my quiet time in the morning, is to read guided literature. And pretty soon you'll know if it's non-guided literature, because it's not doing the deal. We are out of time. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for a wonderful reception here. And good to be back in Louisiana.
I want to thank Father Buell for joining us this weekend and being here. Thank you so much. God bless you. This was incredible. And District 13C, for giving the mustard seed the chance to grow and to come here. We thank you, District 13C representatives, and thanks everyone for coming, and see you in the rooms. How about if we close with the Lord's Prayer?